This is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. As author C.C. Chapman points out, life doesn't come with an instruction manual. Good thing, because most of us wouldn't read it anyway. And C.C. has written something a lot more interesting for you to read. His new book, Amazing Things Will Happen, is all about living the life you want and being successful, which might not have anything at all to do with how much money you make or what kind of a car you're driving. C.C.'s own experiences as content creator and social media professional led to the lessons he shares in Amazing Things Will Happen, which he says is a book he has wanted to write his entire life. At the very core of your book, you have two principles, and I really like these, but would also play the devil's advocate here. You say, work hard, be kind, amazing things will happen.
Yep.
What if you're in a real super cutthroat environment? How do you avoid people, well, basically eating you alive if you do that?
Well, I mean, that depends. I mean, yes, you know, the snake gets ahead. The snake does succeed, and there's always going to be those people. I just think living a happier life is one where you are good to other people, and someone asked me this recently, I said, listen, I didn't write a book for the snakes and the wolves, and there's plenty of books out there for those sort of people. And I think if that's the environment, if it's the right environment for you, if that is truly the environment that you enjoy, you have to be a little cutthroat. And I've been in that situation, and I realized it wasn't for me, and I had to leave it. There are certain environments that I'll never be able to play or work in just because I hate that game, and I refuse to play the game by somebody else's rules, and I would advise other people to do that as well.
You do also include a chapter, though, on dealing with the snakes and the wolves, which we'll call them that for this broadcast purpose. What are some of the tips that you offer?
Yeah, I think the key thing is you need to realize that there will always be people in this world that don't agree with what you have to say or what you're doing, and, you know, part of being happy with your life is embracing the fact that those people are going to exist, and realizing that, you know what, you are always going to have people challenging you if you're doing something a little different. And the sooner that you can just sort of go, you know what, I hear what they're saying, but I'm going to ignore it. Or I hear what they're saying, and I'm not going to respond to it. That's a key thing. Because the minute you respond to these people, you're validating them. You're giving them what they want in some situations. And, you know, we talk about don't feed the trolls. You know, that happens a lot, where if they get a reaction from you, they want more, and they'll come back for more. But, and it's not easy to ignore people. I mean, I have it happen every single day. Somebody will say something, and I'll, you know, my gut reaction is to, you know, yell back at them. And I'm like, wait, that doesn't ever help anybody. And it's taken me years to really, truly get good at that. And it's something you have to put into practice. Just like anything else, if you want to get better at it, you want to get better at dealing with those people that are against you, you just, you know, turning the other cheek is not an easy thing to do. But the more you do it, the easier it gets.
It does sound like a learned skill, especially if the person who's saying, oh, this will never work, is close to you, like somebody in your family.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And that's the difference, too. If it's a complete stranger, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, I saw there's this Brené Brown. She's an amazing woman and a great author. And she was recently, I saw her speak, and she talked about, you know, you should only get stressed out by those people who have earned the right to question you. And I went, you know what, that's such a good way of putting it, because when it is somebody close to you, it is tough. But usually, most times, if they're truly close to you and somebody you care about, they're challenging you out of love and care. They're, you know, is that a good idea? When my wife says, is that the best idea? She's asking because she's genuinely concerned rather than just challenging me. And it is a difficult thing. I mean, my parents don't understand what I do for a living, and, you know, but they've accepted that I'm happy and I can provide for my family, so it's okay with them. But in the early days, they did. They questioned me, and, you know, we would talk about things, and sometimes you have to come to a, you know, you're going to agree to disagree. I mean, you can't make everybody happy.
Your parents sound like amazing people. In your book, your dad has that one concept of idle well, I believe.
Again, a funny story about that. So my dad reads the book, and my dad was a huge influence on my life. And I love the fact that he doesn't remember saying that. So this idle well concept is, I tell the story of me and my dad kicked back in the Boundary Waters on a canoe trip, and he made this comment about, oh, I love that we can idle well. And it hit home for me, the concept of just, you know, just unplugging, just kicking back, doing nothing, not even listening to music, just sort of being, just sort of chilling. And my dad, he's like, I love it. All these things I've said to you over the years, and this one sticks with you, and I don't even remember saying it. So as a parent with kids of my own, I wonder what's going to stick with them in the future.
What have you seen so far of what you've taught your children that you say in your book that is kind of sticking with them, they're growing up with it?
I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, my kids do embrace the fact that, you know, and we live and breathe the fact that they get to do what they want with their lives. And they're an interesting age. They're 14 and 12. So they're starting to really think about, you know, what are they going to do with their future? And, you know, It's funny because my kids every so often will bring something up, you know, whether it's bending the rules or, you know, choosing your own path. And every so often when they bring it up, it's funny because I have to stop. Sometimes it's challenging because they're challenging me or my authority. And I have to stop and realize, wow, they're living like you want them to. So you have to kind of bite your tongue and have a good discussion. But they're growing up faster than I ever imagined. That's for sure.
I can see a kid having a really good time with bending the rules.
Oh, yeah, because we all do it, right? I mean, you go through those teenage years and you rebel. And I know my kids are right on the edge of starting to do that. And I'm waiting because I know at some point, because they both read the book, and I know at some point they're going to, like, quote back to me. And I'm just going to have to stop, kind of grin at them and go, man, you got me. I can't say anything back.
And in another 20 years, they'll probably be writing books and you'll say, I said that? That's brilliant, but I don't remember it.
It still makes me smile when my dad, every time I think, because a lot of people ask me about that, about my dad and stuff, and, you know, he remembers some of it, but he just, yeah, you never, as a parent, I've learned that you don't know what's going to stick with the kids. I mean, some of my memories of growing up, you know, it's the random things, it's the little moments, and it's usually not the big ones. And as a parent now, I worry. I'm like, you know, we, especially when it's something bad, like you screw up or you say something you wish you hadn't, and you just pray, that doesn't stick with the kids 20 years down the road. So it'll be, if they do ever write a book, it'll be interesting.